Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verses 1 and 21 through 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the reading from the book of Psalms, the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. Choir, thank you for bringing heaven just right into our midst. That was wonderful. If you were here last Sunday, you might recall we talked about the magic of manure. So if you weren't here last Sunday, then obviously you missed an interesting sermon, I think, I hope. We talked about Jesus' parable of manure, of instead of cutting down the tree that wasn't bearing fruit, putting some fertilizer around it, giving it time. And so we talked about the slow work of God, that God doesn't always want us to cut things down in our lives or to cut people down in our lives or out of our lives, but maybe there is an opportunity for us to invest ourselves in the slow work of God, to take time. And so the couple of challenges I issued, and I just want to remind you of them in case you thought you were off the hook of that. Stick with it, I promise. It will bear much fruit in your soul. And that is slowing down. And summertime is a good time to practice that. So slow down in practical ways, like just stick with your lane in traffic. Don't try to jockey for position or pick a long line at the grocery store. Don't try to figure out what the shortest line is going to be. Leave the house a few minutes early to go to an appointment or whatever, to just create a little extra time. Slow down. And if you do these practical things in your everyday life, slowing down, over time, it will begin to affect your soul. And you will find a peace and a release from anxiety and stuff in the depths of your being. You will find a slower pace at the core of your being. And the other thing we talked about practicing is listening to others, and so which works with that. Slow down and listen to others. Take time to be there for others. Instead of thinking of what you're going to say next or trying to push your agenda or whatever, listen to what others have to say. And if they are inviting your input, then offer your input. Or if they just need to be heard, then let them be heard. And those are a couple of things we can practice to join God in his slow work in the world and in the lives around us. And so this is sort of a companion sermon to that, in the sense of, I think, helping us get on a good track for a good summertime, slowing down. And this is about happy days, not the TV show I used to watch when I was a kid, although that's great if you can find that in reruns. I love that, Richie and Fonzie and the gang. But how to have a happy day. God calls us to happiness. Of course, he calls us to a deeper joy. There may not be days that are happy sometimes, and so we don't want to be those silly, superficial Christian types that are just like, you know, inside they're dying and crying and hurting, and but they try to put on a fake smile or whatever. That's not what we're talking about, but exercising happiness. And here's what I'm talking about. Think about a time when you were happy. And it could be now, I hope. But a day, an event in your life, or a season in your life. Excuse me. When you were happy, and if nothing comes to mind right now, first, I'm sorry, but no, that's okay. But maybe take time later this afternoon. You can reflect on that or something. But a time when you were happy, a happy time. And what was it that made it happy? Was it a mountaintop experience, as we call it, where you were at the mountains, literally, or at the beach, the ocean, or something, under a starry sky, or maybe you were on a retreat of some kind, or a vacation, or something, but you had sort of a spiritual experience, mountaintop experience, as we call it. Was it something, a feeling of accomplishment, that you contributed some kind of work, you did a good job at something? A little victory. Chances are there were loved ones involved, possibly. Maybe you were alone, but oftentimes in happy seasons or a happy occasion in our lives, there was family or friends or a significant other. Or was there an enjoyment, maybe, of life, sort of the reason for being? Enjoyment of the fruits of your labor. Like there was a little moment of peace and rest in the midst of that, where maybe a light bulb went off or something. There was just a feeling of, this is what life is about. Here's the thing. I do invite you to think about a moment from the past that was happy. But I don't want you to get stuck there. Because here's what we so often do. We cultivate a habit of apathy. We get in the habit of just kind of going through the motions day by day. And the moments of happiness are sort of haphazard. We think it's just luck. And maybe one will come along and catch us by surprise, but in the meantime, there isn't much happiness, and we hope that there will be, but this habit of apathy can give way to depression, can even give way to despair, and a lot of times the way it manifests itself is living in the past in an unhealthy way. So instead of just taking a moment to reflect fondly on the past happiness, we try to go back there. And we make sometimes some unhealthy changes in our lives. Sometimes this can be like a midlife crisis type of thing, but it doesn't really just have to be at midlife. But we think we can recapture that. And we don't necessarily know that that's what we're doing, but that a lot of times is what we're doing. We try to either get the people or the chances that we didn't take or the opportunities missed or the dreams we once had that we think maybe we missed out on. We try to go back and live in the past, or we live in the future. We hope for the future, and that's a good thing, but we hope so much that it takes us out of the joys of the present. We just keep thinking maybe tomorrow will be better, but in the meantime, the habit of apathy. And so I'm here to say that we can be intentional about replacing the habit of apathy with a habit of happiness. A habit of happiness. And again, I'm not saying you should be giddy and silly and just always happy all the time. Giddiness and silliness have their place. But also, there is pain and tragedy and struggle in the world, and we are called to come alongside those in the midst of their pain. Or we are called to feel and experience pain of our lives. That this is a reality, and so we don't want to trivialize those things in the world or in our own lives or the lives of loved ones. But as much as it's up to us, we can cultivate a habit of happiness to replace the habit of apathy. And so here's how, and I want to give us four things as quickly as I can, but I want to be clear about this, to help us have a happy day. This is a day. So the first thing, and these are probably also the ingredients that I just mentioned a couple minutes ago that were very likely part of at least one or two of these, or maybe all of these, some combination, were part of the happy events of your past. And so we can recognize that, and we can be intentional about working those things into the cultivation of the habit of happiness in our lives today. So the first thing is that mountaintop experience. The mountaintop experience you had, it wasn't the mountains. Well, that probably helped. or the beach or the ocean or the woods or whatever it may have been, nature. A lot of times is what it is. But that spiritual high that you experienced, nature, creation, can and should be a vessel of that. You know, the scriptures are full of those things about how different aspects of nature show God's glory and God's beauty and God's power. So we need to recognize that. But the experience you had was because of you and God. And so sitting right here are you and God. Sitting in your car, sitting at work or school, sitting among your friends, at home and with your family, in the community, in El Paso, in America, in the world, you and God. So you don't need to leave the mountaintop experience on the mountain. The point of a mountaintop experience is to cultivate that experience of God in your own life and to live that day to day. And so today's scripture, which I'm sorry got a little convoluted or whatever, I invite you to read all of Psalm 118. Frank did a wonderful job of reading it, but I mean what was happening on the screen and whatever. That's Psalm 118. So read Psalm 118 again, and so you can really focus on it. And understand there are some familiar passages in there if you are a regular churchgoer. From the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus uses that verse talking about himself and the religious leaders in his time that are rejecting him. And so that's from this. Of course, Palm Sunday, we use this as a Palm Sunday psalm. Hosanna, that stuff that said, save us. We beseech you, save us. That's the word is Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Palm Sunday stuff. That's from Psalm 118. And one that we're probably familiar with, even people who aren't in church or whatever. This is one of those things that's kind of part of our culture, kind of a leftover from our churched culture. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? Yeah, who knows that? Who has heard that before? Don't hesitate. Yeah, put your hand up. Who has that hanging on a wall or on a pillow or something in your house, right? I mean, a lot of people have that. That used to be a pretty common thing that people would, you know, put together in some crafty way or whatever and display in their home. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So let's scoop all that together and talk about that day. Because one thing that we often miss in our wall hangings or in our pillows or wherever we think about that, this is the day the Lord has made, is that in the context of this Psalm 118, it is talking about a specific day, not just general days, although it's going to talk about that too, so we'll get there in just a minute. But first we need to understand, this is the day that the Lord has made. That day is talking about the victory of God. The victory of God. And in Christ, it all comes together. When Jesus uses that thing about himself, I am the stone that the builders rejected, the chief cornerstone. That they rejected me, the religious leaders, the culture is rejecting me, but I am the stone around which the entire kingdom, the entire good news of salvation of the world is being built. And so all of that comes to greatest fruition in Jesus. Good Friday, the crucifixion, when God defeats sin and death for all, forever, that is the day that the Lord has made. And it is cause for rejoicing and gladness. And when that death gives way to resurrection, the beginning of the new creation, attesting to the fact that it is finished, as Jesus said, it has been accomplished, that Easter is the day that the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. So that's what that verse in this psalm is really talking about. The day of God's triumph, the day of God's victory over sin and death. That is the day that the Lord has made. God is the one who has accomplished this. And we get to participate in it. We should rejoice and be glad, not outside of it, but in it. Okay. But is that something to come in the future, or is that something that has happened in the past? It's happened, right? It's happened. So, is it still happening? Yes, it's still happening. And so that day of victory gives way to every day of victory. So that's where the specific, particular day of God's victory, 2,000 years ago, gives way to every day since and forever. Remember on Easter, April Fool's Day this year, and this room was full twice. We were cheek to cheek, so to speak, in these pews. We celebrated the victory of God. That was the day the Lord has made. But where is everybody now? Now it's summertime and Father's Day and the youth are on, you know, camp and all that. So we're missing children and a lot of people. But why is every Sunday, every day, not like that? We are missing the victory of every day. And so, just to get back to the focus here now, that's the preachy part, and so, or the teachy part. And so let me encourage you. Number one, the number one ingredient to a happy day, and the other three will be a little faster, but this is the foundation. A happy day is stepping into the victory of the happy God. A happy day consists of beginning by stepping into the victory of the happy God. And again, God weeps and mourns and everything with all of those who are feeling. God suffers with us. He is right here in the trenches with us, especially in and through each of us. But God also is celebrating and rejoicing because he has won the victory once and for all, forever. That is cause for rejoicing. And so if you can't do that, if that is not cause for rejoicing in your life, you're missing it. You're missing the meaning of your faith. That's the point. That's the foundation. So that's why I take a little longer on this one, because it is the foundation. If you are not building your happy days on that foundation, then you are building your happy days on the sand. And again, it's haphazard, willy-nilly. You might get lucky and have a happy day, or you might not. Who knows? Depending on the waves coming and crashing it down or whatever. But if you will build your day on this foundation, and here's two ways of doing that, two things that you need to recognize each day. If you spend a long time in prayer, or if you're just kind of a groggy prayer before I put my feet on the floor and then I'm off to the day, you can do this. Remember who you are. You are God's child in whom God dwells and delights. You are God's child in whom God dwells and delights. Nothing can change that. No politics, no natural disasters, not even death itself can change the fact that you are God's child in whom God dwells. He lives in you. And in whom God delights. He is pleased with you, proud of you. He loves you. And the second thing is where. Who you are and where you are. You live in God's unshakable kingdom. So when you are stepping out into a day where you feel anxious or nervous about circumstances in your own life, circumstances in the community, in the country, in the world, whatever it is, you can remember that. Who you are, God's, apostrophe S, you belong to God. And where you are, you dwell in God's unshakable kingdom. Like the writer of Hebrews says, in the end, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and only the unshakable will remain. And it will remain forever. And you are in that now. Your life is grounded in the kingdom of God. Remember that. Step into the victory. Fix your direction for every day. All right, God is my Father. He loves me. And I am in God's kingdom. Nothing can shake that. And you're set. You're off to the races. All right, the next three things, real quickly. The second thing that may have been part, was likely part of your happiness in your past, and can and should be a part of happiness in the future, and this may be somewhat surprising, and that is contributing. Happy people do happy work. Happy work. Now, you may think of happiness as getting away from work, and that could be the case too. But you know what they say, do what you love and you never work a day in your life or whatever. And that's not a luxury for everybody. Not everybody gets to the opportunities to go into the career that they love. But number one, understand, God made work good. Work is not part of the curse. Work being toilsome and problematic and resistant to us, that is part of the fall or the curse or whatever. But work, Adam worked. Jesus spent most of his life as a blue-collar worker, as a carpenter, maybe a stonemason or something, and just the last 3 years as a teacher, a rabbi. The disciples, of course, the followers of Jesus were fishermen. Again, blue-collar, you know, smelled at the end of the day, sweated and everything. But also tent makers and scholars and government workers and businessmen and businesswomen and family men and family women. These were all a physician, you know, whatever you can imagine, were followers of Jesus. They all worked. So work is a good thing, is a God thing. And so whatever your hand finds to do, do it to the Lord. And it used to be the misunderstanding in the culture for hundreds and hundreds of years that the work of God was the religious, as they were so called. Monks, nuns, priests, that sort of thing. Those in religious professions. And we've hopefully learned better from that, but a lot of times we don't really get it. So, I mean, you know, giving somebody a hamburger at McDonald's, well, maybe not McDonald's, but no, I'm just kidding. God bless McDonald's. Giving somebody a hamburger is doing God's work. Right? Stocking the shelves at a grocery store or sacking somebody's ground, that's God's work. Being an educator, being an engineer, being whatever it is, unless you're like a drug dealer or something like that, I mean, you know, but we've got bigger problems if that's the thing, let's talk. But almost anything you can think to do can be God's work. It's your heart, your attitude about that. And so not only that, you may work out of passion and joy, or you may just work to pay the bills. And remember, paying the bills is part of God's work too. That's God's plan, making your home and paying the bills and being part of the community. But also maybe there's a hobby or something. What gets you out of bed? What do you get excited about doing? Work at that. Work at that. Maybe you just kind of get through your day the best you can, and hopefully you can begin to do that unto the Lord. But if you like to build and fly model planes, or you like to play music or paint or go for walks and run, or you know, whatever it is you're really passionate about, the things that you look forward to, do that. Work at that. Maybe it's just hanging with your family, hanging with friends or whatever. Work at that. How can you do that even better? How can you experience the love of God in that? So happy people do happy work, number two. Number three, looking back at the happy times, chances are, and this is probably maybe a little more readily understandable than the work thing, although I hope the work thing helps open your eyes a little bit, but loved ones. Happy people are with happy people. And so we all want to accomplish, many of us want to accomplish great things. Maybe we want to travel or we want to contribute some great thing. But when we look back, what really made it happy most often was the people we were with. Maybe the people we were with or the people we were doing it for. If we were working or something, we were doing it on behalf of people. It's the people. the relationships that made it special. And so let me offer you this. And I usually hear back about this when I've said this kind of thing in the past. So it may be shocking to you, but it should be. We need to get shocked out of this. And that is, you are not responsible for anyone else's happiness. And if somebody is telling you that you are responsible for their happiness or for someone else's happiness, we've got a word for that in the healing professions, and that is called dysfunction. You're not responsible for somebody else's happiness. You're responsible for your happiness. And the healthy way it works is if you will focus on your happiness. I don't mean to the exclusion. Obviously, we need to serve others and make ourselves humble before others and do what we can. That's love, doing what we can to help others, you know, experience the goodness of God and of life, fullness of life. But that should be for your happiness, not trying to make them happy. And ideally, the way it works is if they are mature and they're responsible for their happiness, then you'll respond to each other. Their happiness makes you happy. Your happiness makes them happy. But that's a byproduct. It's not because you're just giving and giving, trying to make them happy. That's dysfunction. And so you may have spent decades in a relationship thinking your job is to make the other person happy or whatever. Let me let you off that hook. So take that with you. Think about that. But maybe we could kind of sum that one up by saying a happy day includes surrounding yourself with people who take responsibility for their own happiness. Being around loved ones. And again, sometimes maybe they're suffering. Sometimes maybe they're struggling. Maybe you can do something to cheer them, to help them. But being around loved ones, investing yourself in loved ones. And in that, your work and in people, that comes together in the idea of community. We're investing ourselves in building community. That's what God has called us to. That's the work of humanity. All of this together. Now, living with God, doing good work, happy work, living in relationship with in healthy relationships, those are all part of building community. And the fourth one is this, and I think you're going to like this one. Rest. The fourth ingredient to a happy day. Walk with a happy God. Do happy work. Be with happy people. Rest in happy peace. 6 days God worked, so our story goes, the beginning. 6 days God worked in creating everything. And what did God do on the seventh day? Rest. He rested. But let me be clear about that. I'll wrap it up with this. When it says, when the scriptures say that God rested on the seventh day, it doesn't mean, and you may be, and I'm sure I've done this, you have the image of God like kicking back in a hammock and, you know, people are knocking on the door. No, leave me alone. God's out. God's resting. No. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He doesn't go on vacation. Those are good for us. So let me be clear right off the bat. You do need to get sufficient rest. That's part of this. You do need to naps, if you can take naps. You do need to take vacation. You need to do that. God, this is the cycle that God wants for us physically. We live physical lives and our bodies and souls and minds and spirits need those times of rest. But when the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, what it means is he inhabited his creation. Isn't that cool? That's what it means. For 6 days, God created. God did the work of creating. And on the seventh day, God took up residence. God inhabited that creation. God enjoyed the fruits of his labor. That's what that means. And then God not only suggests, but he commanded that his people, that humans made in his image, do the same thing. It's so important that it made the big 10, the top 10 list. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Every week, we should take a break from those labors and inhabit what we're working for. enjoy the fruits of our labor. Enjoy your home that you're working for. Enjoy the people maybe you're working to help support. Enjoy the community you're helping to build. Enjoy nature. Enjoy creation. Once a week, if you can do like a weekend or a special something every month, a couple weeks a year, whatever. You need to have these rhythms programmed into your life. That's God's plan for you, to inhabit your work and enjoy in peace the fruits of your labor. And so, brothers and sisters, summing up, we are talking about one day. That's one day. So Monday, tomorrow, here comes another Monday. Step into the victory of the happy God. Do happy work. Be with happy people. Try to limit your time with the drainers. We may need to be with the drainers, but those who take energy away from you, it's okay to tell them no. Don't say because you're a drainer, but but you don't have the responsibility. Again, if somebody is suffering, I'm not saying ignore them or whatever, but you can put parameters around that and limit your time with them. Try to surround yourself with people who take responsibility for their own happiness. And finally, toward the end of the day, and then again toward the end of the week, rest in happy peace. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. And then repeat on Tuesday. And then repeat on Wednesday. And then repeat. I'll put this up, kind of the outline of this, on our Facebook page. And so if anybody wants, I need to try to get in the habit of doing that. So if you haven't liked our Facebook page, go there. Just Western Hills, you can find it. But maybe it'll help remind you, jog your memory or whatever for this. Because this is important. This is important for you to have a good summertime, but also for you to have a good life. Okay? So in the end, the way this all ties together, we go back to that thing hanging on your grandmother's wall or on the pillow or whatever, stitched into the pillow. This is the day the Lord inhabits. Let us joyfully inhabit it with him. That's what that verse is really saying. This is the day the Lord inhabits. God is in this day. Let us joyfully inhabit it with him. Can you say that with me? This is the day the Lord inhabits. Let us joyfully inhabit it with him. One more time, nice and strong. This is the day the Lord inhabits. Let us joyfully inhabit it with him. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that as this whole scripture, Psalm 118, is sandwiched between give thanks and rejoice, the Lord is good, his love endures forever. That's the first verse and that's the last verse. Let us remember that you are good and that your love endures forever. And may we be part of receiving and sharing that love every day. That is the source of true joy and happiness. Receiving that love and sharing that love in whatever ways, individual, special ways that we can. So we pray that you would help us to rise up and to live, as much as it's up to us, happy days. Receiving and sharing your love. Inhabiting joyfully the day with you. In your name, amen.